As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Episode 241. We are back, baby, with some more transactions. Jack Sawinski signs a $1.25 million deal to come back to the Pirates. We'll discuss that and what that means, along with some players that were tendered contracts, some recent transactions in terms of free agency. And of course, as we do every week, we're going to hit up the free agent market and the trade market to see what fits for this 2026 Pirates teams. And then we'll end it with discussions of the winter meetings, which we'll be at. Before you listen, make sure you go over and subscribe to the YouTube and hit follow on all social media. You're listening to the Bucko Banter Podcast, brought to you by the Just Baseball Media Network. Cue the music.
One-on-one, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and in case after case, run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snake.
Welcome back to another episode of Bucko Banner, and today we have some stuff to talk about. Sure, we've got Jack Sawinski returning to the Berg. We had the non-tender deadline on Friday, so we'll recap that quickly. And then we've got the winter meetings. 2 weeks from today, we will be in Orlando, Florida, to try to get you all the inside scoop that we possibly can and just, you know, network with the baseball community and talk about the spending spree Pirates.
That's the hottest talk in the town right now, man. It's Steelers losing to the Chicago Bears, and the Pirates are going to spend money. Reportedly, the payroll is going to increase to $110 million, which, you know, relatively speaking, is a significant difference from what we've seen in the years past. And as, you know, we've mentioned on this show and has been talked around the entire Pirates community, which it feels like it's universally agreed upon, talk is cheap. I said it on the point the other day when we're talking about maybe adding to the payroll or how we feel about this. And I think even as an organization, looking at what everybody's saying, you have to understand that as well, that whatever we're putting out there right now, whatever Jeff Passan is reporting or the Robert Murrays of the world, nobody in this community is going to 100% buy in until a move is made, because we could be in on the Josh Naylors of the world. We could be in on the Kyle Schwarbers of the world. That doesn't mean that they're going to take the field on opening day, right? Trying is good. You should definitely try, but you have to seal the deal. You really do. You have to seal the deal. And I'm excited that that narrative is out there right now. It does give us hope. We talk about being positive in the offseason, but I want to see a move made. And hopefully, you know, like you mentioned during the winter meetings, a lot of this stuff starts to heat up and we'll try and get some inside scoops and see what's going on. But it's there's a lot happening right now. By the way, underneath my hoodie right now, we're wearing the same exact t-shirt.
Nice. Great minds think alike. You know what? Oh, hell yeah. Let's go. You know, I was thinking, I was listening to Pardon My Take earlier on my car drive back home, and they were talking about MLB free agency getting kicked off, and they're like, where's Kyle Schwarber going to go? And Big Cat was like, oh, Pirates, apparently. So, like, it's out there. The Pirates are gonna spend money, or they're in conversations with the likes of Kyle Schwarber. But in all seriousness, it gives me a little bit more excitement in this offseason. Last year, there wasn't any rumors about what the Pirates were going to do. It was just like, hey, you need to add offensively with this pitching staff to get better. This year, it sounds like there's a willingness by the front office. But like you said on the point this week, talk is cheap. And Paul Skene said that to us too on the media day. Talk is cheap. We'll believe it when we see it. But let's get into the free agency and transactions that happened this past week, Adam. I mean, I'll kick it off real quick. Jack Sawinski avoided arbitration and agreed to a one-year, $1.25 million deal. I saw a little bit of reaction over this online. He's out of minor league options. I just want to note a few things. He's out of minor league options, so this is more of a prove-it deal. If this works out, they get three more years of team control. If he doesn't make the team, he's cut. And, you know, It is what it is. The only real
likely,
risk here,
likely clears waivers if he's cut, by the way.
100%. The only real risk here is that you're spending a roster spot on him right now. So I'm not going to get bent out of shape. I have made my thoughts on Jack Sawinski very public. And maybe he just needs a change of scenery. He needs to go to a low-end organization to kind of prove himself in a different city, different environment. But, yeah, Jack Sawinski's back. They avoided arbitration and signed him to a one-year deal. He would have to start the team in the majors. And I would hope come spring training that this team is good enough that you don't or you shouldn't be rostering Jack Sawinski.
Yeah, you'd hope they make the moves necessary this offseason where it's not even a question. We should not go into spring training seeing Jack Sawinski fight for a roster spot, even if he is having a good spring, because we've seen that before, right? Where guys like him perform early in the year when you pretty much know what's coming in spring games, right? It's a lot easier to hit compared to game one through 162. You saw it with Ke'Keah Brian Hayes a lot over the past couple of years where he really tears it up during spring and then the season comes and it's a totally different narrative. I'm not worried about it, but I was surprised with the tendered contracts. Again, it's not the end of the world, but other than the guys that were DFA'd, like the Colin Holderman, Starry Moretas, Joey Bart is back. He was a non-tendered candidate. And then Emmanuel Valdez is back. What do you think about Joey Bart? Because the catching situation is interesting. Obviously, you need to go in with, three catchers around there. Not saying you need a roster, three of them. But as of right now, you have Henry Davis, Joey Bart, Rafael Flores. You have to assume they want Flores' bat, or at least that presence in the locker room moving forward, considering the capital that you spent on it. That's your investment from David Bednar. You have to use it. Henry Davis doesn't really hit. So how long can you just have him as Paul Skeens guy? And then if Joey Bart stays on the same path that he is, do you see a way that he could sneak onto this roster come 2026?
No, everything that I gathered was, especially after talking to Stump offline, was that they think they can maybe get something for him rather than just letting him walk. So that could be a situation with some of these guys too, not Jack Sawinski. I don't think you're getting anything for Jack Sawinski, but you may be able to package him in some low level deal. I don't know, but Joey Bart may be able to catch lightning in a bottle, may be able to return a, low level prospect, someone with high upside or something. I just don't see a scenario where they have the same catching room going into next year. I really think that they're going to bring in a veteran catcher. You got Henry Davis and Joey Bart on two different paths. You have Henry Davis, who was a bat-first catcher out of college, right, and it became a glove-first catcher. It was kind of reverse. And then Joey Bart, same thing. His glove has kind of decreased to the value over the past few years. And his bat, he showed some slug when he came over to Pittsburgh last year, showed some promise with the bat. But, three home runs this past year and really went through a cold spell through middle of the season. I just don't really see the value in keeping him on this roster, especially when you got guys like Rafael Flores, who showed some slug. Andy Rodriguez, who has yet to stay healthy. I just think it'd be better fit for this organization to bring in a veteran catcher to mentor either Davis or Flores or Andy.
Yeah, and the market still has guys out there. We mentioned Adley Rutschman is a prime trade candidate from the Orioles. JT Realmuto is a veteran catcher. I like Danny Jansen as well. They need to strengthen that room. And I don't care as much about defense this offseason. I know it matters. I get it. Defense does matter. But when you have this pitching staff, you have to take advantage of that. So regardless of where guys are fitting right now, you need to make sure that they can provide some type of value to the lineup. Because going into it, you got Brian Reynolds, who the numbers pretty much show last year was an outlier, right? You have O'Neill Cruz. You got to still believe that there could be some type of spark there. And if you surround him with the right type of guys in this lineup, he's going to see more fastballs. He's going to be protected a little bit more. Spencer Horwitz showed that he can get on base, that he could slug, that he is a really good bat to ball type of guy. And then you got the Jared Triolos of the world. Hopefully that those adjustments continue over and he could be an average to above average player. Nick Gonzalez is an aggressive hitter in the lineup. And then you got some holes to fill, right? Connor Griffin, it was reported that he could potentially start on opening day or close to it. That's starting to look a lot better.
Yeah.
Right? A lot, lot better. So the change doesn't have to be as drastic as people are saying, but you do need to add one to two guys in that lineup to make it actually work. We talk about pieces of the puzzle that don't necessarily fit. You're like two away. You're two corner pieces away, an outfielder and a corner infielder potentially. And then, you know, some role players as well, but it's so close. I think it's a lot closer than people think. They just have to actually go out there and do it.
Yeah, I know. And I if I were them, I'd be pouncing on some guys early. I wouldn't be waiting this out. I would try to be forming this roster not as quickly as possible. It's not a race, but still, I wouldn't, you know, be conservative or patient in this moment. You really gotta improve this team going into next year, and you can't afford to waste time. And on that note too, Adam, Yoan Ramirez is back. He agreed to a contract. I think I was more surprised about that than Jack Swinski, actually, because I think you could improve this bullpen, and you have pieces, especially rookies that are added to the 40-man roster recently that could contribute, and I think could probably be more valuable than Yoan Ramirez. 1 year, $825K. It's really not a big contract, a big hit, but like still,
a lot of relievers,
and there's going to be a lot of decisions to be made, I think, come spring. Honestly, so I think he's another guy who's probably out of options and has to make this team in order to stay on the roster.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I think that was the one where I really was trying to look at and see what exactly they're doing. I know he had some strong outings and he has some decent stuff, and he could get the velo up there a little bit. But like you mentioned, man, they got a lot of relievers and a lot of young guys that could fill that role. So yeah, adjustments are going to have to be made, but let's look towards the future here, Scott. We got trade targets and we got free agency. I'm going to get us kicked off with free agency. I was on the point last week on Friday, a couple days ago, and we were talking about who we would bring in and what realistic moves are. Not even necessarily realistic, but if you had $30 million more to spend, how are you using that money? And I said Kazuma Okamoto.
Love that.
Japanese corner infielder. He's had 6+ 30 home run seasons. He had 15 the 1 year he was hurt. So if you prorate that 30 plus, I think he's capped at 41, and he gets on base a lot. So he fits what this team, or historically what this team, has liked to see at the plate. There has been concerns with the velo numbers over there in Japan of him not being able to hit stuff over 94. But guess what? I mean, he's a professional athlete. If he sees that more often, I think he's going to adjust. And an interesting point was made on the show. Bring in the Japanese market, or just like a sliver of it, right? You've seen, and I know this is different, I know these are way different characters, but the Shohei Ohtani's, Roki Sasaki, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, big names in Japan, right? This guy's also a big name in Japan for a long time. But you've seen the money that's brought over to the Dodgers, right? You've seen the advertisements that are shown in games. If you can even get a little bit of that from an international signing, I think you're winning. And that helps propel us to get more free agents or spend more money, right? I think there's more to it than just signing the good baseball player. I think it's really just tapping into that market and becoming a trusted place where Japanese players or Korean players feel comfortable coming after they're posted from the MPB. I really like him. I think you can get him for 4 years, $64 million. That's 15 a year. Okay. 3 years, maybe a little bit less, but I think that's a very reasonable contract for a guy that's not going to get the Murakami type of hype coming over. But if you go look at his at bats, the swing stays through the zone extremely well. I think the mechanics are really, really sound. And as I mentioned, he's very disciplined at the plate. This is someone who you need to be in on, who could play third base. He could move over to first base a little bit. I don't know how great the glove is. I don't think you're getting a gold glove caliber type of player, but you're getting somebody who could definitely contribute to the slugging, home runs, OPS in this lineup, which, by the way, they were last in the league in for all of those.
I think that's the type of player that you're also could get for when it's all said and done, you could look at that contract and be like, wow, we got him on the low.
Right.
So especially compared to Murakami and, you know, some other bigger names. Another guy that I've brought up too is the Korean corner infielder. It's Sung Munsong. He's got a similar profile. I know Korean league is a little bit lower than the Japanese league, but this is a guy, both of them, Okamoto and him, give me like Jung-Hoo Lee vibes with their plate discipline and contact abilities with more pop. And that's intriguing to me, especially at a position with that is needed in this Pirates lineup. So, yeah, I love the Okamoto signing. I think the Pirates should be all in on that.
I mean, it's worked out for this team before, right? Gung was great when he came over, right? They tapped into that market, and I thought everything went really well. Obviously, he had his off-the-field issues, but why not go back to that, right? Like, you showed it could work before. Branch out. You don't need to necessarily stay domestic. Like, there's a lot of options out there that can help a winning ball club.
Agreed. Agreed, man. Agreed. Adam, before we continue, I do want to mention the Pirates did make a signing.
Oh, yeah. Big one.
Noah Murdock. Quite literally a big one. Noah Murdock agreed to a minor league deal with the Pirates this past week. 6'8 reliever, 2019 seventh round pick of the Royals. Or I'm sorry. Yeah, I believe it was the Royals. He then went to the Athletics out of UVA. Debuted last year, was 1-1 with a 13.24 ERA and only 17 innings pitched. But this is a guy that just adds depth to the bullpen. At the upper levels, you could probably see him make some appearances throughout the year, but he creates a ton of deception from his excellent extension driven by his long levers. He's 6'8", like I said, two-seam fastball, has plus velocity, sits 93-97 with ample horizontal movement. His curveball mirrors the movement of his fastball, keeping hitters off balance, and is thrown with high spin efficiency. So it seems like he has some characteristics that the Pirates really like. And hey, this might be a guy that they might be able to catch lightning in the bottle with, like they did with Chase Shugart and Dennis Santana and other guys that they've claimed or signed to minor league deals. So interesting signing. Obviously not the sexy one. It's just a minor deal, but wanted to bring that up. Noah is a guy that we might be able to get on the show here in the next couple of weeks.
Let's stick on some recent transaction stuff outside of the Pirates organization, because I want to run this by you real quick before we wrap the show up. We'll hit a trade target as well, and then we'll talk about the winter meetings. Adolis Garcia was not tendered. Now, this is a name we talked about last year when we had the Noah Hyles show, right? Noah was really big on getting Adolis Garcia here. Things weren't working out with Texas. It's a former Gold Glover, a guy that can hit 30-plus home runs a year, all-star guy. Has seen a decrease in his output the past couple of seasons. He was non-tendered, okay? It's a little bit more of a different situation now because, of course, you would like to take a chance on an Adolis Garcia. Who wouldn't? But where does he fit, hypothetically speaking? If you were to even just give him a one-year prove-it deal, hey, buddy, you haven't had the past two seasons. Haven't been great. You got 1 year here. Where do you put him? Because the defense has regressed, so you don't want to put him out in left field.
Right.
Don't think you want to put Brian. I mean, then are you moving Brian Reynolds out there, or are you DH?
You got to commit to DH, like platoon them and DH them.
Right.
Like, I think that I don't know, like, if he's a perfect fit. I like that he would provide slug, and I think sure. A change of scenery might do him well. But yeah, I wouldn't put him at the top of my wish list.
No,
I wouldn't
no.
be mad
It'd
about
have to
it.
Be a cherry on the top.
Yep.
It has exactly. to be like, hey, we went out and made these moves that are already going to make this ball club better. And then, by the way, come spring training or close to it, he's not signed. Here's 1 year.
Speaking of the Texas Rangers, this is perfect timing because I just happened to open up my phone and there was a trade that just went down. And a big really? Trade. Breaking news. According to Jeff Passan, the New York Mets and Texas Rangers are finalizing a trade that would send second baseman Marcus Semien to the Mets.
Wow.
And outfielder Brandon Nimmo to the Rangers. Really? I did see earlier that Nimmo was on the trade block, or they were entertaining offers, but that's an interesting trade. I think the Mets are shaking it up, and the Rangers take on, I'm assuming, most of that contract that Nimmo just got with the Mets, and it's not horrible, but like, this is a guy that's probably not a true center fielder either. So, yeah, you just brought up Adolis Garcia. It looks like they added an outfielder in Texas.
Listen, Simeon's a great guy. We got a chance to talk to him earlier this year too. What a clubhouse guy. I think that's going to be a good fit for the Mets. Yeah. They need more of that in that clubhouse. And you know, that's the team that might lose Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
As well, who also was connected to the Pirates. Yeah. That's like very far-fetched. I don't know why that name is more far-fetched. He does love the Clemente Museum.
Yeah, I'm afraid that would he would live at the Clemente Museum and just come to the ballpark just liquored up. Just Engine House 25 wines just every night. But yeah,
that's a good selling point, right?
I think he would definitely be. I think Pete Alonso would love Pittsburgh. I know he loves the Clemente Museum, but I just think the personality, like he'd embrace it, and I think he'd be a great fit. But again, I don't know how realistic that is.
It's not.
So yeah, interesting, Adam. I mean, Adolis Garcia like would be fun. But I'd like to see them add a little bit more, I don't want to say proven guys, but guys that have been good recently.
Sure.
And can provide more, you know, I guess, reassurance to that lineup rather than maybe hoping for a change of scenery candidate. So yeah. Love that idea. Trade idea.
Let's do it.
All righty. I got a guy here. We actually talked about him last week with Stumpf, and wanted to talk about him a little bit more in depth because I think the signing screams Pirates, not signing, trade, and I don't think it takes a lot. Edmundo Sosa from the Phillies plays everywhere in the infield, and he hits 276, 307, 777 OPS with 11 home runs, 39 RBIs, a 1.6 WAR, a 111 WRC plus. Like, added that to this lineup last year. That's a poor man's Jorge Polanco. Adds a ton of value to this lineup. I mean, 777 OPS. Horwitz had a 787. The next best on the team was Reynolds with 720. So as a super utility guy, he would have had the second best OPS on the team. Due to make $7.5 million in 2026, so that might be a little bit rich for a super utility guy for the Pirates, but becomes a free agent in 2027. So you'd have him for one year, 29 years old, plays all over the infield. He's not a star offensively, but has shown that he can contribute, especially in a utility role. I'll take a dozen home runs out of a utility role. Versatility and speed in the infield. I think the return is a mid-tier prospect in cash considerations. Like, I don't think it's a lot. It might be like, hey, you might even be able to send like Omar Alfonso in cash considerations. Like, I like Omar Alfonso, but like if you're trying to
strengthen the roster right now,
strengthen the roster and give the Phillies, I don't know, someone with a ton of upside, but is not like a top 100 guy, go for it. I think this is a trade that could be had pretty easily, but you know, you could plug and play him everywhere, man. And this is a guy that, hey, your second, if Nick and Gonzalez goes down for a month, and Mundo Sosa, I'm comfortable with him playing second base every day
and getting about the same, if not more, offensive production.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit more slug. So
I like that a lot. And it's somebody who's been linked to the Pirates before. And there has been a relationship between the Phillies and the Pirates in terms of the trade market. Oh, by the way, Leover Piguero, the newest Philly. Yeah.
Following in the footsteps of Rodolfo Castro.
The Josh Bell trade and the Starling Marte trade officially.
Nope. Brendan Malone is still a Pirate.
Oh, you're right. So
he has a lot of work to do. I don't think he's gotten above Bradenton, but
shame on me for not knowing that.
Not entirely dead yet.
It's getting close to the finish line. But I like that trade a lot. I think that's more on the realistic end of things. We talk like Mitch Keller for Adley Rutschman and the Stephen Kwans of the world, which would be fantastic. But this is more of the Pirate speed. So I like where your head's at a lot. And I think a lot of these types of deals are going to go down at the winter meetings, which if you don't know what the winter meetings are, all the GMs, everybody important in the baseball world gets together at one location every year. This year it's in Orlando, and we will be down there from December 7th through the 10th. The Rule 5 draft happens during that time. They're going to select the draft order for the 2026 MLB draft. And this is the place where the Spencer Horwitz trade went down. It's the place where a lot of other important deals go down. So not only is it important to network and get the sources that would be valuable for us, but also just see what's happening around the league and feel things out for the Pittsburgh Pirates, especially with all this talk going into the offseason. So we'll have coverage from down there. We'll be podcasting, I'm assuming, every day while we're down there. Alex Stumpf of the Alex Stumpf Show on Bucko Banner. If you haven't checked that out, go back to the last episode. It was awesome. We'll be down there as well. So we'll be collabing with him. And then our network, Just Baseball, is going to be down there. So it's going to be a whole company affair. We're really excited for our first year at the winter meetings. And of course, all the travel that we're going to do this upcoming season for the Pirates. But let me stop right here and bring up maybe the most important news in Bucko Banter right now. Our new website is officially launched. If you're listening to this, you can go to buckobanter.com. Go check it out. Shout out to Kelsey Byers for all of the hard work that she did and just seeing our vision and making it come to life. Go check out that website. It is top tier. And not only from this website can you go, it'll immediately have a pop-up where you can subscribe to our email list and you're going to get weekly updates, exclusive articles. We have a team of writers now here at Bucko Banter, and all of their articles are officially published on the site. You got talks about what a Paul Skeens extension would look like, the all minor league team, the Seth Hernandez interview recapped, and all the favorite quotes from that, and much, much more. You'll see all of our videos on there, our refreshed merch store. It's very, very exciting. Everything's going to be centered through this website now. So we always want you to subscribe to the YouTube, like, leave a comment, tell a friend to tell a friend. Same with Spotify, Apple Music. Download the episodes, leave a 5-star review. But go over to the website and sign up for our email list. That means a ton for us as we have the rest of this offseason to go. And we have some more exciting announcements to make and some partnerships that are really unique coming in the near future. So excited to announce those as well. But until next time, raise it.
Raise it.
Rocking 101, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates and it-